So for today's message, the Lord has led me to study and learn about this issue from His Word directly. In 1 Kings chapter 19, the story of Elijah's depression is our point of study this morning. Elijah was called by God in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Which says, to warn King Ahab, he said to King Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year except at my word. The previous chapters in 17, 16, 15, previous chapters, it explained that how wicked the kings of Israel that ruled Israel. They are wicked. And you will ask, why did God choose that? Well, we studied that in Wednesday's study. God's sovereignty and man's free will. So attend Wednesday Bible study. So God took care of Elijah during the drought for 3.5 years in chapter 17, verses 2 to 24, because there's no rain. God supplied water and food for him from the brook of Cherith in Jordan. In verse 5, I'm just giving you the background before going to chapter 19. So God sent food through the ravens in chapter 17, 4 to 6. The ravens came in the mornings and evenings. You know what? Bible scholar says that the ravens, when they have their birdlings, I don't know, the small birds, when they give birth, they live it. Yet these ravens, morning and evening, he fed Elijah with fresh water. But after that story, there was no more water in Jordan River. So, to make the story more very impossible, then through a widow also. And you know, widow in the Old Testament, when you say widow, it's not like a widow here in the United States of America. When a widow work, she or he, widower, has a something to feed himself, health, food, and all those things. When you say widow, it's widow. And it says, the widow also provided bread and water to Elijah in verses 7 to 24. The Lord commanded Elijah to also confront and challenge Baal's prophets in chapter 18, verses 17 to 40. Elijah won the challenge over the 450 prophets of Baal and plus 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. In other words, part of the payroll under Jezebel, these 400 prophets, aside from 450. So every month or every day, Jezebel, the wicked wife of King Ahab, is supporting these prophets of Baal. By the way, Baal, in their worship, because King Ahab is a Hebrew, but he married an unbeliever, a Phoenician from Sidon.
And he worshiped Baal. And you know what? Baal means he is the god of rain and dew. But by this time, it's really a time of drought. No water. The Cherit Brook, the Brook of Cherit, really dried up. So, Elijah had experienced all these mighty miracles of God done through him. You know, in spite of the drought, he continuously, you know, have his tummy full, you know, and he has a good sleep maybe. However, in chapter 19, 1 to 15, which is our text today, as soon as King Ahab told his wife Jezebel all that Elijah had done, we see a different response from Elijah. Okay, we will start reading it. Chapter 19 in our Bible, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. 450 plus 400, 950. He slaughtered them. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness because he was afraid. He was very, very afraid to Jezebel, and came and sat down under a broom tree or juniper tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers." So, the next question would be, how did God help Elijah, who was showing signs of depression and experiencing suicidal thoughts? No? I am no better than my fathers. First, in our outline, God allowed him to sleep. Yeah. Very simple. No? The Bible is very simple. When you are depressed, sleep. Verses 5 to 9. It says here, then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Verse 6, then he looked, there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So every time he wakes up, so he ate and drank. And again, after his tummy is full, and lay down again. Not bad. In times of drought, he has always food in the table, always, and water. 7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." Verse 8, so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. So God allowed him to sleep. Number 2, God also fed Elijah. Simple outline, eat and sleep when you are, when you feel this depression syndrome. relax. The physical food sustained Elijah for 40 days and 40 nights. And through, this is again another walking. Not only he walked from Jezreel to Beersheba, but they add from Jezreel to Mount Horeb or Sinai, the total run actually or walk is 6,222 miles. Which if we convert to miles per day, it's 155 miles per day. I'm only traveling 18 miles going to Westlake for my work and then 18 miles back here to Camarillo. So 36 miles per day, my car. This one is 155 miles walk per day. Even if you are the strongest man, you will really, you know, experience fatigue. And he experienced depression because he is afraid of Jezebel. You know? God allowed Elijah to vent his frustration. So what's the secret of God? Number one, he let Elijah sleep. Number two, he let Elijah eat and drink. And number three, he let Elijah say all his frustration. Oh, can we say that to God? Oh, yes. We can read it. You know, in verse 10, Elijah said to God, because God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Huh? It does not mean that God did not know why Elijah was there. Huh? Yeah, it's good that there is a question, Q&A. So verse 10 says, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And then after that, he repeated again in verse 14, as he talked to God. In verse 14, it says here, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. When you really are depressed, you always want to repeat and repeat what happened to your life. You want to express it. And so, God let Elijah vent his frustration. You know, the Bible says that casting all your worries and cares upon him, for he cares for you and listening for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. He knows. He went through. Jesus went through. In Hebrews, it says there that he went through all the trials and sufferings. That's why he is a great mediator between us and God. He understands what we are going through. Like Elijah. So, sleep, food, allowed Elijah to vent. Number four, this is what is good to God. God gave Elijah, number four, new task to do. There is always a responsibility, After taking rest, and having his tummy, full, and now he can express himself. What are you crying about? Now he said, okay, I can hear you. Okay, I'll give you another responsibility. In verses 11 to 18, number one, his job in verse 15, to anoint Hazael as king over Syria. It says in verse 15, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. So from Mount Horeb to Damascus, another 255 miles after resting. Okay, he rested. He regained his strength. Now he can walk again. So what is his job? It says here, you anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Number two, to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. Verse 16. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. Remember, King Ahab is still there. The wicked king. But Elijah will go 255 miles away from Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, so that you will remember Mount Sinai. What happened in Mount Sinai? There's so many things happened there. Moses talked to God in Mount Sinai. No? The transfiguration also happened there. No? So, he will anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel. King Ahab did not know it. And this is a hard job, you know. Wicked wife, wicked king, they will not allow anyone to be in the palace. No? I remember the Philippines. So, to anoint Jehu as king over Israel, letter C, to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, to be prophet in your room. No, it means replacement of Elijah. In verse 16, it says here, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehola, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. In your place. So that's his new task. And this is the plan of God in his life. God called Elisha to take Elijah's place. And in the succeeding verses, it says here that it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. So this time, no more, you know, there will be no more wickedness in the eyes of God. God appointed Jehu, Hazael, and Elisha to be the executioner of those who do not worship the true God. Verse 18, just to answer the question or the feelings of Elijah in himself, that he is alone and he is the only prophet that worship the true God. God said to him in verse 18, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. Just for your information, FYI, all those knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. You know, those are the system. You know, you pass the mantle. That is a responsibility. At the same time, it's an honor. That the next, it's like a crown. You are the next prophet of God that will help Israel worship the true God. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. What's the point? Elisha is a farmer. That is his bread and butter. That yoke of oxen and that yoke, the implement that you put in the back of the animal. He used it as the wood to cook the oxen. It means, as a prophet of God, he is trusting God that God will feed him, the next prophet, Elisha. So, and then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Now, let's get our takeaway here. In conclusion, that's the best part, Pastor. Really. It's number one. From our study this morning, we learned that it's okay to not be okay. Don't be plastic. Be real to God. I'm okay. Praise the Lord. But inside, you're not okay. It's okay to not be okay. Feeling of tiredness, loneliness, hunger, despair are natural and are expected to be experienced by each of us in this crazy world. John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have tribulation." Or, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus said, "that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." God knows that it's not easy to live in this crazy world. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who became a man, knows how to live in this crazy world. That's why he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I am gentle. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." He knows, our God who saved us, he knows what we are going through in this crazy world. And we can depend on his promises. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you." You. 7 billion? The Lord is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He knows the number of your hair. So, it's okay not to be okay. Number two, our God is our best and forever friend. We have seen Him sweetly taking care of Elijah during this depressing moment. He will also do the same for us. There is no need for us to succumb to all of the depression. We need to go to Him to tell Him all our feelings. He cares. He cares. And number three, God's Word is our steady source of hope. This world has a lot of advice, but the strongest and most reliable and trustworthy source by far is still the Bible, God's Word. We need to stay on it and allow it to speak to us and guide us through the darkness. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet," light, "lamp unto my feet and a light far," and a light like a light in the light that guards the ship so that it will not have trouble, "and a light unto my path." If God cares for Elijah, you and me also, God also will take care of us. I pray that as we face this week again, yes, trouble is again, is there. Problems and things to overcome. But thanking God that we have a loving Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we will not succumb to depression.